So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
903 on ESPN 97.5. This conversation kept on going. I would tell you that I think Lance McCullers has been good this year.
I would too.
And his ERA sucks.
He had one bad inning. That's what I'm saying. The Astros in runs scored are sixth in the league, which shocked you and shocked me.
But they're feast or famine.
Yes, that's why you don't go by just ERA or just runs per game. You got to look deeper. That's why analytics movement is so big, because that tells more of the story. When you look at the Astros hitting, their OPS, their average,
their OPS is average are terrible.
League average. Their OPS plus, they're below league.
But I would argue because they're so experienced. My argument is that with all of these guys that have made their major league debut this year, what in the world could you expect? Any other? I'm telling you, there's nobody in baseball that has a less experienced staff, and for them to be doing what they're doing, you look at the scores of these games. There are literally five or six games that the Astros offense should have won because they kept you this podge of a meatloaf of pitching staff has kept you in games.
But they've also,
and the Astros hitters have done nothing.
But they directly cost you three losses too. They did do that too. You got to acknowledge that out of the first 16 games,
absolutely,
at least three and maybe four, and I'm talking about last inning type stuff, losing leads. Ryan Pressly, Josh James.
Well,
Osuna.
What were the scores of those games that they blew?
What doesn't matter if you have the lead, you still have a
that's
job.
That's fine, but the hitters should
stop
hitting.
That's always the argument that every game should be
an argument.
Should be a blowout. If you're winning, do your job.
It's not an argument. Fine, they blew leads, but are these 3-1 games where the hitters? Are because that's been consistent. The hitters aren't hitting.
But the league average isn't a force.
But they're better than the league average. At least they should be.
They should be way better.
They should be way better. But when you have a lead and you're in the last inning, close
I understand.
The deal.
No, right. But here's the deal.
Do your job.
What was Osuna was one of the best closers in the league. What was his ratio? I mean, blown saves are part of baseball now. They are. It's not like Lidge getting 50, going 50-0. It's not happening anymore.
No, that's fine. But then that's still your job. And if you don't do your job, you don't get participation. Like, it's okay. You don't have to do your job.
No. Absolutely. But you're doing it without your closer. You're doing it out with basically without your setup man for most of this. You're doing it without Joe Smith as well. This bullpen without Davinsky, this bullpen is nothing like you thought it was going to be.
Let me ask you this serious question. I assume it's Dusty, but it might be Strom. Whose call is it to leave Josh James in beyond it?
Oh my God!
I'm asking.
And Davinsky too. Why are you bringing Davinsky in the eighth inning?
Let me ask you something. Dusty Baker's new, and we're still seeing the same thing. Strom's been there the whole time. And this has been a thing dating back to the last 2 years. Under A.J. Hinch and under Dusty Baker, Josh James goes more than an inning.
Whose
call is that?
That falls on the manager. Whether he's delegating it to Strom or not, whoever's doing it, that's on you. If you've noticed
the trend. Stops here. Yeah, I get that.
If you've noticed the trend of it happening over and over again, step in and say, hey, look, I know you think he can go an extra, I don't know, batter or two, but he can't. That's on you, because you know who we're going to blame? Who's going to be asked the questions after a game where Josh James blows up in the second go-round? The manager.
I can't listen to you because you stand the Astros every single time we talk.
What?
You're Mr. Astro. Dell's new nickname is
all
Mr.
All I'm telling
Astro.
You is, I just agree with John, and I don't like saying that. You have a certain level to
expectation.
You agree with John, you mean?
No, I don't. Yeah, I do, and I said I don't like saying it. You have a certain level of expectation as far as your hitters are concerned. I don't know what these pitchers are supposed to be.
So I don't disagree with anything
to be honest
you just said.
To be honest with you, I don't know if Strom's doing a good job because I don't know the talent level of the guys on his roster.
I thought you would have to win games 9-7 on a consistent basis.
And they're not doing, and you're not. You're losing games
5-4
because
you're that's why you are. Because your pitchers are about like you thought, which is down in the middle of the pack.
Well, even before Verlander got hurt, though, we were saying they got to win 8-7 games.
Well, their Urquidy sucked right out of the gate.
Well, right, but even before all of that, we were saying, man, they're going to have to score runs to be a good team. And you know what they're not doing? Scoring any runs. And when you're 1-1 in the 12th inning against the A's, that's horrible. That is terrible.
I would say
and the same thing the next game, 3-1.
The pitching staff is doing about what I expected, which is they're not consistent, they're not great, and the bullpen is shaky. The problem is the bats. I don't disagree. We are on the same side as that. I'm just saying from a semantic standpoint, that doesn't mean that Strom's doing a great job if that's what's going on, a shaky bullpen, this up and down with Greinke already, up and down now with Javier. We'll see. It's still a very small sample size. You're just not going to have a big sample size this year. The bats, there's no one who could argue that. They're sixth in runs. Well, that's because they piled on runs in a few games. If you go deeper into the numbers, the Astros are well below their average on OPS plus, on OPS. They are a disappointing group of hitters. Even if you just look at the most basic stat like batting average, that would tell you that. You're just watching a game, you know that. They don't have the same impact. They don't roll downhill on teams. They have at times, but they haven't strung together like, whoo, man, the Astros have caught a hot streak. Do you think they will? I do. These are consistent hitters. Springer, Altuve, Yuli, Bregman. These are guys who hit. This is a one-month slump. That's
yeah.
what we're in the
no,
middle
no,
of.
No. And you know
that's
what?
Baseball.
That's why it's on them that they're 7-9. That's why it's on them that they're 7-9.
A one-month slump is baseball.
Here's the problem. Okay, games pitched, appearances. Andre Scrub, 6. Cy Snead, 6. Blake Taylor, 6. And Ole Paredes, 6. Josh James, you thought what you would have before the season started. Nivaldo Rodriguez, none of those guys were penciled in to be main cogs in your bullpen.
And
none of
traded
them.
For guys who
none
never
of those guys
heard of.
None of those guys were penciled in, and yet here they are. You've already had to send Brian Abreu away. You're going to have to send Josh James away. You can't do Josh James anymore. You just can't.
Can you imagine? Can you believe that Abreu was supposed to be the lock?
Yeah, and
Abreu
Josh
was
and
the
Josh
lock.
James
and
was
Josh
supposed
James
to be
was
a
right
starter
there with them too.
He was supposed to be a starter this year.
And now you got Belak, who Orioles fans are like, "Hey, what? What's Belak doing over there?"
I guess what
Belak. Of course, we say that as Astros fans. We said that a lot with other pitchers.
Remember when the Astros, the accusation as far as their cheating was concerned, was about the pitching staff. Yeah. Remember when Trevor Bauer would go, "Oh, spin rate. Oh, sure, it's all about mm-hmm. spin rate." Remember with it, "Shut up, Trevor."
Yeah.
I just thought, I remember it was like the undercurrent was the Astros pitchers are dirty. Now it feels like it was always the hitters.
Well, yeah, no, we know it was always the hitters.
And it feels like at this point, I know it's only a month baseball. They can snap out of it. It feels like everyone was justified in their issues.
They'll be fine.
I hope so.
They'll be fine. Well, but man, Altuve still. Somebody sent a little kid swinging a plastic golf club and spinning around and falling down. That's the Astros hitters. It kind of is right now. Altuve, my goodness, what happened, dude? Settle down. Just take he really needs, instead of, you know how they used to take greenies?
Mm-hmm.
Do need some Quaaludes before he goes up there. Because he just.
Quit telling people to take Quaaludes. Hold on. You cannot. I'm not going to let you in this courthouse, in this courtroom, say you need to take Quaaludes.
Well, He needs something that, like, oh, I know what he does. He needs CBD oil for his anxiety. That's what he needs.
Yeah, maybe that.
From American Shaman. That's what he needs.
Quaaludes. I mean,
no, this is TGS insurance.
Two consecutive segments of actual baseball talk, and you had to go to Quaaludes to end it?
Well, he needs
70s. That's not even 70s baseball.
For whatever reason, guys, I don't know why guys wanted to be all on greenies.
Did you ever take Quaaludes? They say Quaaludes was the bomb.
Rory 714s? No, I would never do that.
What?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
What'd you say?
Rory 714s. Is that sounds like a golf ball that Titleist is putting out.
Yep, I think it is.
I'm playing the Rory 714s.
What? So, anyway, he needs to settle down. Springer looks like he's gripping it and, it's so tight. Bregman, guys, take a chill pill and get up there and have some fun. There's no fun.
Well, why would
There's
there
no
be fun for the Astros now? You're in the middle of a pandemic and you had your whole 2017 World Series invalidated by the general public. And, I mean, you did something.
You're hated. Price.
And you're the most hated. They went from being the most loved team in baseball outside of, whoever your favorite team. People love the Astros. And now it's like, now people are, I'm surprised they haven't called it Astrovirus. Like, are we sure the Astros didn't bring this coronavirus over yet?
They could.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
What? Why haven't conspiracy theorists who are circling the shirt, circling one of them coughing under, whoa! How do we know that the Cardinals didn't get it from the Astros? Well, they haven't played. But still, you could get it in some.
Oh, if an Astro goes out to a bar, I don't even want to report it.
Just immediately, like, oh, he's going on the injured list.
Yeah, he's the dead.
Injured list.
He died. Hopefully, Josh James will go to a bar.
No, Your Honor, I. Your Honor, first it's Quaaludes. Now he's wishing an Astro reliever into a crowded bar with no face covering.
I just say go to a bar.
With face covering and social distance?
I don't know. I didn't say anything about face coverings or anything else.
Your Honor, sidebar, Your Honor.
All right. 9:14. Not 7:14. 9:14.
It's 9:14, and that means it's time for me to I'm going to get you a bag. I'm going to secure the bag for you. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to take out your phone right now. You're going to text the word money. You're going to text the word money to 232323. What this does is it starts an automated process for an insurance group that aggregates multiple A-rated insurance carriers. And let me tell you how this works. A lot of the big carriers out there, or the big names, I should say, the brand names, they use these carriers. These carriers underwrite their homeowners insurance. And so when you get your homeowners insurance policy, you're like, wait a minute, why am I with this company when I thought I was going with this big brand name company I saw on television? Oh, because you're paying the middleman. That's how come. What happens with TGS Insurance is that you get to go directly to, it's like wholesale. You get to go directly to the homeowners insurance that are A-rated homeowners insurance companies that are underwriting the big major companies, only you don't have that middleman. TGS Insurance says, we'll find you the rate right now. Text the word money to 232323, and within 15 seconds, not days, not hours, not minutes, within 15 seconds, you will have a firm quote on an A-rated insurance company, and you can save, on average, people are saving $900. There are definitely times where people are saving in the $1,500 to $2,500 range for their homeowner's insurance, depending on how badly you're getting overpriced. Make sure that you text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, the SEC is meeting Thursday, right?
Yeah. The Big 12 is meeting today, but Chris Conte, the Texas AD, said it's about informing the institutions about medically how you go for it. There's no voting. I think they're still going ahead. I guess they'll take the temperature of other conferences. But it's, today for them is all about, hey, how do we make it safe to do all this stuff?
Mm-hmm. So, and this is somewhat true, Nick. And I, well, Nick is going to get paid either way. I want to play, but I want to play for the player's sake, the value that they can create for themselves. We have around a 2% positive ratio on our team.
2% is an NFL standard.
Yeah.
Baseball was under one. There at one point, they're 1%. We sat through the NFL thing. They said they wanted under 5% so that they could go from daily to every other day, and they wanted to be 2% or under. That's not a bad. I mean, I know there's going to be people who want to not play, so they're going to point to every stat. 2% is completely viable for sports.
Yes, yes, yes. And now the problem, 0% is, well, you're living in America where there's 5 million cases. Guess what? There's no such thing as 0% anywhere.
And it wouldn't be, if you sent everyone away from football but still kept on campus, it wouldn't be 0%. So football is not an issue currently because, well, they're not playing. But, yeah, you're not going to find 0%.
No, there's no 0%. So, but I think the first part where he says where players can create value for themselves. Again, I think that everybody's going to the, they're just about money, that they're so greedy and they got to have it. Guys, the players want to play. The players, without playing, are not creating a marketplace for themselves. Where they now, it's the vast majority that aren't going to get to the NFL, but they love football and want to play. The "we want to play" hashtag, it's real.
What if you said, "We will let you play in spring"? Just devil's advocate. We've all talked about how difficult that actually is in real life. And do any of these other? I don't think any of these other conferences reverse courses. I don't think it's possible they could reverse course. But I think that'd be a bad look if you said we're going to the spring.
Well,
and then you came back.
Okay,
to the fall.
So if I'm a freshman or a sophomore, I'm like, give me how this is going to work, because you can't play football up in Wisconsin in February. You just can't.
Well, Mountain West isn't Wisconsin.
Mountain West is going to be cold in February too.
Yeah,
very
but,
cold.
But it,
and
it is
so
what it
except
is.
In San Diego. But tell me how this is going to work, and then we're going to play. Then we're going to go back to September next year when I'm going to have like 2 months off. How's this going
to
work?
So you're asking me to play at a minimum. Let's say it's an 8-game conference schedule, whatever it might be. You're asking me to play 20 games in a calendar year
for 1 year.
Yeah, no.
How are you going to sell it to people who are already up in arms about player safety? You want them to play 20
You know
games?
What? Why do they get a pick at everything? Why does everyone who's up in arms, if you're not inside the...
But
the
clearly...
We've got to stop listening to everybody
else. No, but they're not
the
stopping to listen. Part of the reason this is going on, yes, we keep referencing myocarditis, but part of it is the liability, and part of it is the backlash of potentially putting a player at risk. You're not putting a player at risk asking them to play 20 games in a season?
Which is safer, playing in the fall with this right now, and let's say it's 2% or whatever it is. We might have an outbreak on a team or whatever. But for the most part, we've seen baseball, you know, out of the 30 teams, two have had an issue. But which is safer, playing the 20 games in a season in a calendar year, or playing this year with all the stuff that's going on?
All right, so we got to say
at the regular time.
We'll say 20 with a vaccine.
Well,
because the only reason you move it is if you have vaccine.
If it works,
if you still play.
By the way, vaccine. Everybody thinks it's a virus. You know what? The flu is a virus. You take a flu shot, but you're still going to get the flu.
No, not necessarily.
This isn't like polio. It's a virus. You can still get it.
Well, the win rate is 40 to 60%.
Right.
That's from the CDC. 40 to 60%. There's probably some people thinking it's 90%.
No.
They're 40 to 60, but the reason that's important before you freak out, because some people are like, oh, well, it's important because if you have that percentage, then it chokes off potential super spreaders, because that one could be, you know, you're going to have a bunch of people who do not spread, who are not going to be spreaders because they have the vaccine. And so it really eliminates the mass spread of this. That's why 40 to 60% is a really big deal. Herd immunity is considered 65 to 70%.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's why
40 to 60%. Again, you're still going to have a percentage of people that catch it.
You're going to have to look. Our reality is we have something called COVID-19. It is here and it's not going away. The flu isn't gone forever. You're right.
Yeah.
And so if everyone freaks out all the time about it, I mean, And maybe it is going to be much more. It looks like it could be much. It's going to be. It is much rougher than the flu. People comparing it to the flu.
Do people still get SARS?
Yes.
MRSA is still around.
Well, we did. We were smart with like Ebola. We kept it from getting it. We sent troops in to keep it from spreading. That's different than China, though. Ebola was in a completely different country. But, yeah, I think SARS is still a thing. And the whole mask, you remember when you walk through an airport and like, oh, there's an Asian couple wearing masks. That's weird. SARS is years ago. I think that's going to be a more of a norm for a lot of people who say, I'm not taking a chance. I'll just wear this mask from now on. Even after vaccine. Because we know there's anti-vaxxers, too, that will
get everything. What? Yeah,
they'll never take the
vaccine.
What
did you just say?
Anti-vaxxers.
This is the government trying to control my children.
There's a
my
chip.
Right to,
there's a chip in the vaccine.
There's a chip. They're going to be following me and stealing my money.
Every time your phone is on, they're tracking you.
I need
Don't
my
worry
freedom.
About it.
You know what? Hey, government, I'll tell you where I am all the time. It's the most boring ass stuff. But go ahead. Follow me all you want. Take my freedom of knowing where I am. Why is he at this same sushi place again? What's he doing at the movie theater?
Sushi place.
Why is he in the same building doing nothing but eat? You know what? Eating a bunch of these dark chocolate covered banana chips that I found.
What?
You found them?
Yeah,
what
are these? Delicious. They're delicious. 110 calories in a little pack. It's just a delicious little treat. They're great. You stick them in the freezer. You're good. Now the government knows.
Why don't we have any?
Sorry. I'm still going to keep buying them and eating them. That is a government trick to try to control me. And make me do things.
Why would the government want to control you?
Because of Area 51.
What access do you have to anything they would need you to control?
They might think that I'm Area 51. They might think.
What? They would know that. That's their facility.
Okay. Then what about George Soros? Have you thought about maybe he's behind me eating chocolate-covered, dark chocolate-covered banana chips?
What would George Soros want? Is he behind the chocolate-covered
he's
banana
one of the reasons
chips
I
lobby?
Threw
is that what he is?
Well, you know what? He's one of the reasons that I intentionally tried to mess up my own gutter by falling off a ladder. I was trying to do some Antifa work on my own house.
And what is Antifa
and then
work
I separated
on
my shoulder.
What is Antifa work on your house?
What does that mean?
Leaving shoes around?
That's not
leaving
Antifa.
Dirty dishes?
That's just
I was
being lazy.
Disruptive.
You're just being lazy.
Yeah, but I was disruptive.
To your own
home. I didn't
home.
Want to break my windows.
That ain't Antifa
I'm very anti-Antifa. Did you guys see the video where members of Antifa went into some, and it was clearly a suburb neighborhood, and they were trying to go there to be disruptive and break stuff. There was a pro police rally in a suburb neighborhood, and they went there, and the video picks it up where people are now, they caught them like pushing some old man in a wheelchair, and I swear to God, half the time this really
what
looks like something. It looks like something
was
from,
his name
from
Terry?
South Park. His name wasn't Terry. It might have been, but I don't think he's a Terry. And anyway, these people started surrounding him, like, and they were marching them out of the neighborhood. Oh, you need to go. I'll find this video during the break. They're marching them out of the neighborhood, and all of a sudden it gets a little testy, and before you know it, it's on. And they're in a ditch fighting and punching these guys in the face, and then somebody pulls, watch, he's got a knife. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then somebody's got an American flag, like, stick, and he starts jabbing this one guy like, everyone holster your, and then you hear a guy say, everyone holster your pistols, do not pull your weapons now, just let them fight and punch each other. And I'm like, what?
This is America.
I'm appreciative of Antifa, because if they keep this up,
you're appreciative.
I'm appreciative, because if they keep this up, black people will no longer be the biggest fear of suburban white people. It'll be Antifa. So keep it up, guys. Fight your own.
Keep up to good fight. Yeah,
my buddy lives in, Jake lives, he works for Adidas. He lives in Portland, and we were talking. I said, how's it going in Portland? I said, this is after his day 73, like 73 straight days of and setting cop places on fire. Like, they said, this is just because there's national troops here. Once you get the troops out, everything will be fine. Like, no, it's still the same. Well, anyway, I said, Jake, how's it going? He said, I don't live downtown. He goes, this is all happening pretty much in a 3 to 5 block radius in downtown Portland. He said, if you watch the news, you think it's all over Oregon and Portland. He goes, it's actually a small section. He goes, however, we got to have some rules and we got to have some laws. He said, this is getting a little old because you don't even go down to, like, you already know, man, the businesses are going to be closed anyway. I don't even want to go down there because they're already closing up, boarded up shop anyway, because they already know if they're not boarded up, they're going to get, you know, smashed. And he just said, I got to be able to go downtown every once in a while and get something. But he goes, eh. He said, hopefully they just keep it there in a 3 to 5 block radius. Just keep having whatever war that you're having there in the 3 to 5 block radius where you're fighting everybody. He said, don't bring it out to the Adidas place. We don't want that. We don't need that out here at where we are with Adidas.
Nope. 928 ESPN 975 713 780 3776. Come hang with us on ESPN 975.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm so tired of the Roni, I can't even tell you. But talking about the Roni, arguing with people. Well, if you get a major injury in football, you're not bringing it home to your grandparents. You're not bringing home anything to your grandparents. You know how often football players see their grandparents? The grandparents aren't going to be able to go to the games, okay? Not this year. They won't see their grandparents. You know what athletes have to do? They have to play. You know what they have to play? They have to play football.
Well, they're not.
They don't get
to
go home. Normal students get to go home,
and they're more likely to bring it to the grandparents.
Normal students are.
Yes,
and not knowing they're bringing it. Regular football players are going to be tested, as opposed to the normal student is not going to be tested nearly as much.
So you say that. How often and how do you guarantee it? This has to be the players, and this is where the players are right. This needs to be guaranteed. And if a school can't afford it, somebody needs to step in and pay for it.
That's right.
It's just it's a non-starter.
Okay.
You
they've
must
said
have they, tested.
They've established a protocol that it be 72 hours before every game you test. Every player has to be tested.
I would test twice. I'd test 72 hours and day of game.
Well, that...
incubation period.
By the way, the immediate result tests aren't nearly as accurate.
No, that's why you need to. Yeah.
That's why you
Well, the Syracuse.
Although the NFL uses an immediate, they say, I was told, no. They are if you have, I guess the NFL has something different.
No.
I guess because they take it and then they get it within 24 hours. Maybe that's the same one that you got in 3 to 5 days, but it has to go, yours went out of state, right? Or yours goes to a different lab. Because the NFL is Richie Rich's, I think they have dedicated testing for each team. Understand what I'm saying? The lab is The lab is here.
Right.
Couldn't universities science programs?
Universities, your university should be doing this.
Which are, by the way, funded by the football program.
Yeah.
Like, if particularly for universities who base a lot of their stuff on science and health, a lot of them are working in concert with not only schools, but the community.
Right.
For coronavirus testing. Look, the argument go back and forth, and I don't know if you can sway one person one way or the other, but football players, when they're on campus, will probably be the most – if they weren't already the most baby people on the campus, they certainly will be now as far as health concerns, medical issues. The university's fear of what could happen to one of their athletes if they go forward means they will take every possible avenue to make sure, if they decide to play, and even if they don't, that the athletes are taken care of. It's just what they have to do. And Nick Saban was talking about, like, we test, and then you can always get another test. Like, we're not minimizing the number of tests you can take. Now, we know what's required, but every player has the opportunity to take as many tests as they like. I don't know if that's going to be on all campuses, but that's what Saban has said about his program.
Yeah. So, listen. Let's get – which Longhorn is this one?
Can't see.
Can't see it. It's one of the Longhorns. He wants to get in here. Hey, Longhorn.
What's going on, guys? It's Longhorn Keith, man.
Longhorn Keith. What's up, Keith?
What's up, Keith?
Everything's good, man. Before I get to my take real quick, Lance, man, you had me rolling so hard last week when you were doing, out of all your impressions over the years, the best one I've heard was your 1950s commentator with the basketball player, Jim Hilarious, man. Hey, but to you guys' point, and John, we talked about this a few weeks back in regards to the NTA not having a governing body And this is what I'm taking from this, and y'all can tell me if I'm right or wrong. But I feel like as a result of the way things are going, there seems to be a lack of leadership or some institutional leadership. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. I feel like what's going to come out of this, and don't get me wrong, man, I want football bad as anybody, but I think what's going to come out of this is there's going to be some type of uproar of somebody's got to get control of the NCAA in terms of, I'm not saying they got to have a commissioner, or but they got to do something that will have an equal representation for both the student-athlete as well as the colleges and universities, because it just seems like to me the Power Five conferences, and granted, no one is ever going to say that capitalism shouldn't be the model in which you operate. But however, if the Power Five conferences are the conferences that are dictating everything, do you not think that these other conferences at some point are going to, especially now with this pandemic, are going to say, look, man, we got to have somebody step in and say, we need some leadership that will give clear and solid direction. And the hell with what everybody feels, but it just seems like everybody's opinions are all over the place, and everybody thinks that they should have the right to do whatever they want to do, which is great. However, in this situation, I just feel like at some point, I think that what's going to come out of this is there's going to be, we need leadership that's going to be able to tell us, you know, how to operate, and more importantly, like oversee, I don't want to call it competitive balance, maybe, within the NCAA competitively.
Well, I will say this. They were just asking the question, and I was going to bring this up. What's the NCAA's role in this? And the NCAA's role in this is zero, Keith. Now, should there be, if you are in a conference and you're only playing in your conference, let's say it's the SEC and they're only playing in their conference, they have to have uniformity throughout the league. I agree 100%. And I think that you're going to have some coaches that are maybe going to possibly, you never know, but a coach, the quarterback tests positive or the quarterback is coughing or whatever, and he's going to go, you're all right, don't worry about it, kid. You're going to be just fine. You can't trust them. I think there's got to be some kind of checks and balances for all of these programs to make sure that they're following a protocol that is followed by the entire league. If you're going to test, you're going to test twice a week, then the whole league should test twice a week. Everybody should be on the same page as that. There should be some standard for everybody that's going to play football this year. I agree with you. It ain't the NCAA's role, though. The NCAA sucks. I don't trust the NCAA to do anything. And the NCAA's role in this should be nothing. Screw you. If Nebraska feels like playing, and if the Big Ten's not playing, but Nebraska says, I'm going to play, then you know what? Then Nebraska should play. But they should play by some kind of protocol that's established somewhere, somehow. And that should be a standard throughout all for these kids. Because you're right. They listen, if I don't, how much is this going to cost? Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we can do this. Well, if you can't do it, then don't do it. If you can't test for these kids, then don't do it. But there's got to be some kind of test that is going to be uniform for all of these schools, because they won't follow it, because they're going to try to save money, or the coach is going to go, I don't want that guy tested. And you know what? We need him too bad. Yeah. So I agree with you, man. Yeah, there's got to be somebody.
Yeah. And my last point, man, is Dale nailed it yesterday, too, when he's talking about Barry Owens and what he did in Wisconsin, right? So he says we're going to put football off till Monday, which was yesterday, because they were trying to put in protocols. Like, at that point, like, somebody should have, like, called them out, or more importantly, like, called the universities, like, you had a whole freaking summer and spring to figure this out, and you haven't? Like, that's ridiculous. But anyway, guys, as always, I love listening to you, man. Y'all have a good morning.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
The lack of this is what's going to make this such a – because everything gets politicized, so now this is going to be in the midst of that. You have information versus interpretation of information in terms of the safety and the science behind it. You're going to have the haves versus have-nots in the Power Five trying to figure this out. And once again, if one conference, if the Big Ten, by the way, we're acting like football's definitely going. Well, You can hope all you want if you're Scott Frost, but it doesn't mean just because the politicians jumped in, it doesn't mean football's still going. We've got to see how this plays out. The momentum to stop looked inevitable yesterday, and now it is, as Ross Dellinger said, slowed way, way down. However, if that
if that
10-2 vote ends up still being 9-3, guess what? And Big Ten shuts down Pac-12, zoom, it all goes away.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
But you said it was going to all of college football was shutting, and it ain't.
No. You don't know that.
I do.
I don't think.
No. I do.
I don't think the Southern conferences will play, though, if the Pac-12 does it. We're going to
play. And I'm going to tell you this. Ohio State threatens again. We may change conferences. The Big Ten's going to go.
They'll never do that.
They already did. Ryan Day said.
But I'm just telling you, the Big Ten's not going to just let them walk.
No. Guess what? We're out. We're beating it right now.
Beating what?
Gavel.
Okay, now see, here's your boy.
Kyle Tucker?
Sports by Brooks.
That's not my boy.
I'm now irredeemably against.
How is this my boy?
He's your boy.
He's your guy.
Then you get Kyle Tucker. He's hitting 190.
Thanks. I love it.
You're going to cape for Kyle Tucker still?
Yeah. I'm now irredeemably against playing college football because I know if it is now played, the president will take credit for it and use my favorite sport to campaign for re-election, and I will never support the only president in history to publicly support the Confederate flag. Sports, you see, now it's all political.
Well,
now it's become political.
It became political. The Sassy jumped in from, I hope that's how, it's funny if it's not how you pronounce his name, Ben Sassy from Nebraska. Jumped in, I think he's a senator, former president of a university, and then the president jumped in. It's political.
I mean, I'm so tired of everything. Can we just have? I'd rather have the. This is a legitimate, real topic that needs to be discussed. There's financial concerns. There's health concerns. There's young people. They don't get paid. They do get paid. They this, say that. This has to be. This is their own little bubble. Has to be figured out. I don't need the president talking. I don't need the answer because as soon as he talks, it's going to spark everyone to now you got to choose. Now you piece up, you choose your side. I mean, this is everything doesn't have to. Y'all don't. God, man.
It's all political. Stop not wanting to be political.
Whatever happens is going to happen. Look, personally, I want football to go because that's. But I also recognize that's my own personal, just like all of us. We want to see it.
Because I don't really like it that much. I don't care.
This is our own selfish thing. We don't have a dog in this fight.
No, I just think we're a bunch of wuss. You know what? And again, I think we're looking at it backwards. I really do think that they're safer COVID-wise there with protocols, with supervision, with testing.
Certainly,
none of those kids would have otherwise.
They certainly would. More than likely, probably almost definitely we'll have access to better care and testing.
Absolutely.
Now, we can get into what they'd be doing at home. Maybe the kids stayed at home. Sure, he'd be safer. Last thing, I do think the Pac-12 will follow the Big Ten's lead or they'll follow each other's lead. I don't think, and you may be right, Lance, we may not see football, but I don't think one decision, particularly the Southern decisions, will be predicated on what happens in the Pac-12 or the Big Ten. I think they may come to their own conclusion, but I don't think they will jump to end it just because those two did. I think they will make an independent decision. The SEC has said, hey, Sankey came out yesterday, maybe even this morning, and said, he was on the Dan Patrick show. Our medical people say we should continue going forward, and then if they tell us differently, then we'll stop. So I'm sure they have all the myocarditis stuff, too. I don't think it's exclusive to the Big Ten and the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 ADs and coaches saw that information last night in a meeting, and they're voting today. The SEC will decide at some point, okay, maybe it's not safe anymore, but it won't be because of the other schools. Because they always hold themselves independently of the other schools.
Mm-hmm. 944 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Bring your thoughts. You're in.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, PGA Championship. 5.139 million viewers. How was golf in primetime? Was totally sweet. You see how many viewers they got to? Highest rated in years.
Okay.
And then ESPN had their highest ratings, golf ratings, in years as well. I mean, it's just awesome.
Basketball and baseball are struggling. This just came out. Basketball, which started off okay, the ratings have now dropped below pre-pandemic level. You have, well, there was a look at ESPN programs. PTI, First Take, Around the Horn, and Jump, they have dropped off. But apparently the numbers for the games, I was looking at sportsmedia.com, have really dropped as well. There were under 600,000 viewers for Bucks versus Heat. It was a weekday game, but under 600,000 viewers was the lowest of the year of any broadcast in basketball.
When was the game? I know it was 1 o'clock. What was the time?
You didn't watch it?
I watched. I just
don't, I don't know what time it was played. I know
it was afternoon.
I know it was midweek, but I don't know what time it was played.
I don't think it was a evening primetime
game. No, I can't imagine a 1 o'clock, like today, the Rockets are playing the Spurs at 1.
I think it was later than 1, but it wasn't like 7:30.
No, that's primetime. So, what Rockets, okay, what's that rating going to be? Rockets and Spurs, well, it was at Thursday. 1 o'clock.
The Bucks and Heat was a Thursday. I don't know.
On a Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. It's going to be low. Really low. If it hits a 1, that'll be awesome.
It was 6:30 here, so 7:30 Eastern. So it was
That's a real game.
It was on NBA TV. I don't know. Maybe, does that affect the ratings? It wasn't on ESPN.
I think it probably does. People are still trying to figure out NBA TV.
Yeah. And finding it.
And I know because...
You know... The only reason people are talking about the rate, I legitimately care because I know it's become a political thing because people want to say it's because of the protest. But I'm just curious. Take all that stuff out. I'm curious if the general public, the fans aren't used to watching basketball, consuming it in August. Is that a factor?
Or consuming it so much where you're having games wall to wall. And, you know, the novelty has probably worn off a little bit.
That was a thought that was, as soon as we get sports back, everyone's watching. Every rating is going to go sky high. And what we're finding is that's not accurate.
Yeah, people have found other things to occupy their time. And it was the middle of the week. Actually, I'm looking at the – to be honest, I don't actually know when it came on because for whatever reason, I'm looking at the wrong Bucks game, Miami Heat. The wrong one came up as far as time. So I don't know. I got to find it right now. But the other thing is, it's still a regular season NBA game. And people are like, okay, NBA's nice. I'm glad there's something to watch. But it ain't the playoffs. I mean, people, in one way we've gone back to normal, we're treating regular season NBA games just like we always treated regular season NBA games if it's not our team. Okay, that's nice that it's on. But is it going to stop me from doing something else or watching something else? Probably not. Not for everybody.
Let me ask you guys what's bigger. And I want you to be... And when I say what's bigger, this is going to be a challenge because one is a sport and one is not officially a sport. But it just made me think of the outlandish TV ratings we saw, and this has been a growth that I've charted.
Final thing, it was a 3 p.m. TNT game.
Okay, that makes more sense.
That makes
more sense. What's bigger, the NBA or the NFL draft?
NFL draft
is bigger. Just the draft, the concept of the draft. Because let me tell you what's not bigger. The Senior Bowl's not bigger. The Combine's not bigger than the NBA. You mean just draft night. I'm saying the concept of the draft is not bigger than the NBA. It feels like it because now these numbers have been moving up. Draft coverage and stuff like that is a real thing. It's getting bigger and bigger digitally and broadcast-wise. Is the NFL draft, the concept of the draft season from January through April, bigger than the
season?
NBA? Yeah, the NFL draft, not the TV
numbers.
No,
not the season, not the season, no. No, not the season. The night season. I'll take the NBA draft night over any NBA game, including NBA finals.
The NBA draft?
The NFL draft. I'll take the NFL draft.
Oh, you mean in terms of
the ratings over any NBA game?
When I remember that, you get to add up ESPN NFL Network. You get to aggregate all.
Yeah, right.
The league aggregates them and says.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll take that night over any NBA night, but not the whole season because, look, ESPN will have a bunch of NFL draft shows or whatever. Are they going to rate as high as an NBA? Well, a big NBA game anyway. Probably not.
Okay, in 2017, the three-day NFL draft averaged a combined 3.9 rating and 6.1 million viewers across ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, and NFL Network, up 8% in ratings, 11% in viewers from last year. Now, that was in 2017 looking at 16. I've been telling you, we get these numbers.
Yeah, right,
This is it's been going up and up.
What was it this year? It was off the charts.
Yeah, and this year is a bit of an anomaly, but 3.9. So the NBA Finals TV ratings for 2019 were 20.5 million viewers in the U.S. and Canada. That's way more.
That's between
Warriors and
Raptors. You're talking about 17. What about this year? What was this year for any NFL draft?
Well, it's during a pandemic. Right. You want to look at 19?
Well, look at the pandemic. So is NBA season during a pandemic.
Well, but that was at the early stages. It was also on the weekend. This isn't the finals. That is the finals of the NBA, the NFL draft.
It was Thursday night, the NFL draft.
Well, one night was.
Well, the big night was. Saturday. The big night was.
All the nights were, all the days were big days. They were all big. We were up 38% in TV ratings. Not 11, not 20. Almost 40% in TV ratings.
Well, and the NBA should be too. We're still in a COVID.
That's what the thought was that
this is going to be
everyone's going to watch every sport
through the roof.
And people, it's like we do have a return to normalcy a little bit. It's just the most terrible normalcy of all time. At that time, we were more in quarantine mode. Remember, it was April. We were all stay home, stay safe. Everyone was smiling on TV. Stay home, stay safe. We'll do this together. Together, we're better than ever. Stay safe. This will all be gone in about a month. And we're all like, you know, now more than ever, I'm riding bikes with my kids. We're just having a great time every day. We play board games at the table. It's just an amazing time. Fast forward to August, and I'm like, those kids.
What?
I'm tired of this stupid-ass bike. It's hot as... I'm tired of it all. All this. Yeah, it's just an amazing time to ride bikes with our kids and... really refocus my energy into being a great dad. This has been one of the best pandemics ever because I feel like I'm just so connected with Scott and Carrie and Aiden, and it's just an amazing time to be alive. It really, thank you, pandemic, because now the focus is where it should be.
I haven't said any of that, but I will say the pandemic hasn't been, yes. I bought
bikes.
Now, bought bikes. Had my kids at home where they wouldn't have been.
Wasn't it amazing? You were a commercial.
It was great.
You were a commercial. Now, those of us who have kids now.
And if I had them at 4 and 5 years old, I'd have been.
Years old. No. I mean, it's not 78 degrees outside. It's different.
Yeah.
The heat index is about 105. The specter of no in-person schooling.
Your kids should still be outside. Your kids should still be outside.
My kids do most of the time.
Go outside.
But then they go. But they're always here. They're always here. And then you go, so we're doing online schooling this fall? So they're going to be at home from March to at least December? And maybe beyond? Stay home, stay safe.
No. Well, we had, if you want to know the truth, it's different for everybody. Obviously, people who suffered, people who've died, and that's just terrible. But I had two that caught it, and you know what? They were fine, and we had got to spend a lot of time with the kids that we wouldn't have normally had, and
now
it was
gone,
okay,
right?
And it was gone, and it's okay,
and they're gone, right?
And that's pretty good,
yeah, and it's a dream. See, you don't count.
Yeah,
you were literally a half.
But we did get that time with them.
You're a half percenter,
which is awesome. But it's also awesome that that's over.
That they're gone. It's not a permanent.
Right.
Isn't it great that you don't get
a talk? They're like my grandkids.
You don't get a talk in this.
They're like my grandkids now.
I'm not siding one way or the other, but isn't it great, John, that you entered that particular situation knowing that at some point it would end? Like it wasn't going to be the next 7 to 10 years of your life like some people in that room?
Mm-hmm.
So the draft still didn't beat the NBA Finals. 15.6 viewers on average. Watch round one. 8.2, and basketball was 20. So NBA... I actually thought the draft, I thought the draft crushed them.
Yeah, I did too.
They were up 37% on day one, 40% on day two, and 32% in day three. Yes, the pandemic, and this is the only sporting event we had. I don't even think Bundesliga wasn't even back. This is the very first sporting event.
Was the NFL draft.
Yeah. Right. There's right. no way these numbers can stay the same.
Well, golf was on before that.
No, the Tom Brady golf?
Wait.
No, golf wasn't before that.
Oh, no, golf
that.
Wasn't before
June.
That. Yeah, golf wasn't before that.
Right,
no,
June?
Right.
This was the first
Bundesliga wasn't
event.
Even on yet?
Uh-uh. Oh. This is the first sporting event.
All right, 9:58 ESPN. You know what? We underestimated hoops. You know what else we underestimated? Hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. The best, and it's not even arguable, the best goal in the history of the world. If you're looking for the best way, the very best way to get your kids outside, like Lance, he needs a hoops goal, okay? That's what he needs. He needs a goal out there so the kids can actually hang on the rim all day long, and it won't break. Okay, and it's a lifetime guarantee on it, too, by the way. And you know why? Because Keith Tate ain't scared. He makes the best goal in the world. GT and his buddies used to hang on the rim all day. They'd lower it, and they'd dunk, and they'd hang on it all. And when you go to the website, Hoops of Sporting Goods, ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com, you're going to see all the kids, all the pictures are kids hanging on the rim because they want to dunk, Dad, and they can't on a 10-foot goal, and they can't even enjoy it on a 10-foot goal. So if you're looking for the best goal, period, exclamation point, it's not even arguable, it's ProDunkHoops.com. All the accessories as well, ProDunkHoops.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.